Anyway, we're glad to be with you. We've gotten to know your pastor and over the last few days, and really yesterday, and your deacons. And I appreciate your church very much. I've been in this building before, and back when Tom Sims was the pastor here, before they closed, and God has used it for both the Spanish-speaking church and your church. So it's just great to see the Lord's work continue in this building. Charleston's very near and dear to us. My wife was saved. Well, actually, spent how many total years were you in Charleston? Anyway, her dad was in the Navy. Spent three tours here, and
college.
Yeah, went to college. Charleston. She was saved here as a young adult. So we have a great burden for Charleston. So don't forget, God is still saving people. Christ is still saving people. There's a need for Bible preaching church, and so she ended up graduating Bishop England High School. You didn't never graduate, though. You went straight from 11th grade to college. But anyway, so to give you an idea, I mean, God is still rescuing people. My wife was raised Roman Catholic here. And then came to Christ, and we were married in 1981. So anyway, so we have Gretchen's two sisters still live in Mount Pleasant. So again, this is in fact, we went to the naval base Friday night, where she spent a lot of her life, went out there, and kind of went through his cold anyway. So turning to Bible is Galatians chapter 6. So what I want to do here for Sunday school, I love discussion. And so I'm going to engage you and just ask you to read some passages and go through this together. You know, growing up, I was not an artist, okay? I like circles and squares. I'm partially colorblind, so I like black and white and gray, okay? So all these things. But here's what I learned. There's something called tracing paper. Now, do you know what tracing paper is? You do, okay. But so what do you do with tracing paper? Obviously, you trace. What else? By the way, how do you use that? I should have been.
Lay it on top of it.
All right, so we're going to look at Galatians 6. So I've got this three marks of a Spirit-led church. So what I'm saying is you take this passage, you lay it over First Love Baptist Church, and as you're considering a church, you know, merger, whatever you want to call this, consolidation, as you're considering this, this needs to be part of who you are. So you can take this passage, lay it down, and say, okay, this needs to be my church. All right, so that's where I'm trying to go with this. So three marks of a Spirit-led church. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a what? Fault, you are who, which are what? With you who are what? And what are you supposed to do? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Father, we need you today. I pray that we would be a church that does what this passage says. Lord, you've been so good to allow me and Gretchen to be here today. I pray you just bless our time in Sunday school as well as the afternoon service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you look at this, what a picture of a Spirit-led church looks like, I want to define several words. Okay, what does this word overtaken mean? It means caught in a snare. It means captured alive. If you think of the old trappers that would lay traps along and catch animals like this, what this is. So someone that's caught alive in a snare or in a sin. And notice what it says, overtaken in a what? A fault. That is a named sin in Scripture. This is not simply some bad habit. This is a sin. So someone that is caught alive in a sin, you are who? What's the next word? You who are what? All right, so let's back up to Galatians 5. So turn back to Galatians 5:16. So the passage just before Galatians 6:1, Galatians 5:16 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, you will not, you cannot, what? Obey the lust of the flesh. Okay, so it goes on to say this. For the flesh is against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're what? We're free from the law. All right, now, you got this whole list, starting verse 19, the list of the works of the flesh. But in verse 22, but here's the great passage, but, B-U-T, great contrast. So you got the works of the flesh, right? And then you got what? The fruit of the Spirit. And you got this great list, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So when you look at this word in Galatians 6:1, it says spiritual. So the spiritual are those that are walking in the Spirit. So all those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are spiritual, what are you to go do? What's the rest of verse 1 say? You are to do what? What's the next key word here?
Restore.
Restore, thank you. You're to make it, you're to make something useful again. You ever had a broken bone? What do? They put a cast on it to mend it. That's what this word means. It also means this. It was a nautical term. That is, when Christ calls his disciples, many of them were sitting there and they were doing what to their nets? Mending their nets. They were making the nets profitable again, right? They would throw the nets out in the Sea of Galilee. It's got a rocky bottom. As they dragged it to the shore, it would tear the nets. So they would use this word. They would restore the nets. Okay, so your goal here is, and you do this, you restore such a one the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself lest also be tempted. So you look at your outline, you're to confront. You confront your brother or sister, and you're to do this as you are walking in the Spirit. Now, why do people not want to do this? That's a question. That's a conversation. So why would we not want to go sit down and talk to a brother and sister in Christ and say, by the way, you know, those that are overtaken in a sin, and you're there to restore, why don't we want to do this?
Confrontation.
Okay. What else?
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. All right. I'm sorry. I forgot to get through all this. And who am I to do this? Common excuses. Number two, I don't have my act together. So who am I to sit down and talk to you about your sin? Number three, who am I to judge another? Matthew 7. Of course, you put that in the context. We have to judge. You are to judge. It's just by the way we judge others, that's the way we'll be judged. And of course, the most popular one is this. Oh no, this is Pastor Dan's job. This is not my job. But that's not what Galatians 6:1 says. You who are what? Spiritual. You go, and the goal is not condemnation. What's the goal?
Restoration.
So you who are spiritual, you go and restore one. So then, and how do you do this? Only one way, walking in the Spirit. There's no way we should do this. If this is something easy to do, you just go and want to just pound on somebody about their sin, you got the wrong attitude. This ought to be a fearful thing to do. So what do? You must do it by walking in the Spirit. So this is you who are spiritual. So first you got to confront a brother or sister, but look at the end of verse 1. Concerning thyself, lest also be tempted. You also got to confront yourself. What does this mean? Well, you got to be able to say, when you go to someone that's involved in sin, you got to go with the attitude, you know what? Only by God's grace, I'm not where they are. Because if we think we could never, ever, ever do what the person is doing that's enslaved and caught in sin, if you think you never could do that, you need to go back and look at King David, man after God's own heart. Now, God in his graciousness records sins of men. If a man after God's own heart can commit the sins God recorded for us to see, who are we? So if we're not considering ourselves that we could be in the same boat, no, you have to. You have to confront yourself and understand very, very sincerely and ask yourself, am I walking in the Spirit? Can I go in the fruit of the Spirit? What is my motive in going? Because Timothy tells us this. Well, forget that one. Man, that small print. Is it any bigger up there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm going to step over here and read it. One-eyed man can't see that well. All right, well, what is this? 2 Timothy 2. The servant of the Lord must not do what?
Strive.
So if I'm God's servant, and I like going and quarreling with somebody and arguing with somebody, no. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Unto all men apt to, and notice what it says, in meeting, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance, acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of what? The snare. This has got to be our attitude when we go. And we must confront ourselves. We must say, am I going in the right spirit? Am I going, am I really going to rescue somebody? Or I'm going to sit down and condemn them and say, I'm glad I'm not like him. If that's what we're doing, we're not going in the right spirit. So the first thing was confronting. Look at your outline. Verse 2, second mark of the Spirit. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Dan, what time are we done here?
About 10 minutes still.
Okay. All right, would somebody, I did this yesterday, somebody at 3:40 Somebody raise their hand 10 minutes before 3:40. Anybody? Can somebody do that for me? Who? Okay. Good. We got two people. All right. So look at verse 2. Confronting. And then now comforting. Verse 2. Who would like to read verse 2? Somebody. Good and loud. Quick. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Go ahead.
Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Bear ye one another's burdens. I need you to do something. In this verse, please mark what this word burden means. So really, as on your outline, this is a double-edged ministry. What do I mean by that? You are to bear one another's burdens. And this word bear means really to shoulder up, to walk beside somebody, helping them carry a load. Because this burden in verse 2 is a crushing load. Verse 2 is a burden you are not, cannot, and will, you cannot carry alone. So there's certain burdens. God is calling other believers to come beside the other believers. And you must go to them. You have a responsibility to confront them, right? Verse 1. But here, you can't just confront them and leave them alone. If they're ensnared in a sin and they're overcoming that sin, you may come along beside them to help them carry that sin. How would you do that? So what would be some ways we, the one another's at First Love Baptist Church, how can you come along beside somebody to help them bear or carry a crushing load? What are some ways we can do that?
Pray
with them. Okay? I'm sorry.
Give them advice.
Help them bear that burden. This is what helped me. This may help you. And as you're praying with them and you come in on beside them, what else can you do? Just practical things. Maybe you can call and check them. And maybe you can say this, hey, if you ever, I don't know, pick a sin, let's just pick drunkenness. If you're ever tempted, if you're going down the road, would you call me before you buy the alcohol? Would you call me before you take that drink? Would you allow me to walk with you? You follow me? So it's very important, verse 2, all the one another's in Scripture that are practiced in the local church, this is, you must bear one another, you must help them carry this burden. Now notice, it doesn't say you take ownership for their sin. So don't allow them to be a dump truck and to back it up on you. And now you carry. No, no. This is together. You're coming along to confront them and now to comfort them. You're helping them carry the load. In this context, this person is ensnared in a sin. So you must understand very carefully. You must understand this is a sin they are overcome with, right? Verse 1, you with me? All right, so let's go to another, let's look in a second. There's something different here. Of the seasons of life that we are all overwhelmed. Certain things that make, not in sin, but there's certain burdens, certain pressures of life that where we are overwhelmed. There are those. And again, within the body of Christ, if you're overwhelmed, again, not overcoming a sin, but you're overwhelmed and you need somebody to help you and pray with you. Again, this is not a sin, right? This is overwhelmed with pressure. So what are you to do? James 5:13. Any among you afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing. But if anyone is sick or has a problem, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do in James 5:14? Say that loud. You call for your pastor. He's the elder. All right, now one of my sons is a pastor, puts it this way. If somebody complains, well, you haven't been to see me. He said, you know what? I don't have the gift of mind reading, but I do answer my phone. I love the way he says that. Because Pastor Dan or some of the deacons, they cannot read your mind if you were becoming overwhelmed. And again, not overtaken in a sin, but you're just overwhelmed with the pressures of life. And you need somebody. Then as believers in Christ, as a member of this church, you have the responsibility to reach out to the leadership. And don't expect them to read your mind. As we were transitioning out of our church in Rock Hill, and there are always people that leave churches, okay? There are. So there's one couple, they had left, and I was trying to make things right before we moved out of town. So we had to move for dessert. And I said, look, somewhere along the way, there's been a major problem. And she said, yeah, you know what it is. The wife said, it's really. I led her husband to the Lord. Okay, I mean, we go back a ways. You with me? And she said, no, you know what happened. I said, no. Well, did you send me an email? Did you send me a text? We use a connect card in every bulletin. Did you write a connect card? Did you leave me a message in the office? No. But you know. All right, so what, folks, you cannot assume your pastor or your deacons or your Sunday school teacher can read your mind. You must be willing to obey Scripture. You must be willing to call. So this is what you must understand. There's a difference between being overcome and overwhelmed as a member of this church. And let's just say the consolidation goes through. Y'all are a whole lot more people than they are. And you may be going into some really hurting people because they may feel like they're being taken over. I'm just speaking candidly, okay? They have not said that. This is me, right, Gretchen? They didn't say anything about it. I preached here this morning, okay? So what I'm saying, nobody said that. I'm just saying if I'm them and you hear good singing and they don't have that right now, and they have singing, but you know, with the piano, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is there may be people that feel overwhelmed when you guys get there. Why do we do this? So it's so important to carry each other's burdens. It's so important to reach out. How are you doing? It's so important for us men to get with other men. How are you doing? You know, can we pray together? You follow where I'm going with that? So anyway, be sure you're aware of this. So then you got, you know, in the outline, you look at this way. So you have a, I've got two different messages. Anyway, go to the end of verse 2. Okay, so here we got, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a single-edged focus. Okay, so you got to understand the law of Christ. Now, I know we're jumping in the middle of Galatians here, but the word law is used in Galatians 32 times. So if we've been studying Galatians together, by the time you get here to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says fulfill the law of Christ. You know, those red flags will start going up the pole and sirens will start going off because law is a key word in Galatians. And it says, you fulfill the law of Christ. And as you look at that, as you think through it, this is the other two passages. I'm going to turn to Galatians 5:14. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you shall do what? Again, number one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. John 13:34. That you shall love one another. So my focus to fulfill the law of Christ is to love others. And within the context here of a local church, your focus is to fulfill the law of Christ by loving those around you, making sure you know what their needs are and where they are with the Lord. So right now, don't look at anybody specifically, but if you look at those just sitting in each section, think, do I know a prayer request of each person in my section? Can I right now name and how I should pray for everybody, this section, everybody in this section, can I name how I could pray for each one of us? Because that's bearing each other's burdens. And that's being interested in, that's fulfilling the law of Christ by loving each other. Some of the things I do, which is one of the least pleasant things, is help churches with church conflict. And we had helping a church where the pastors had been at odds, two pastors, for over 2 years. I asked this question. How often did you pray with one of them in those 2 years? The answer is zero. Okay. They were not bearing each other's burdens. They were here not comforting each other. And if you can't get on your knees beside another man in this church, or ladies, if you can't get on your knees beside another lady in this church, if y'all can't pray together, then something's wrong. So this is a spirit you got to go forward with. And if the consolidation goes through, once you get to know the other members from Coastal Shores, you need to be able to say, can I pray with you? Can we just Wednesday night or whatever time, can we just have a word of prayer together? That will change the church. That will bring the unity you need. Now look at Mark number 3, verses 3 through 5. Mark number 1, confronting. Mark number 2, comforting. Mark number 3, considering. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, what does he do? What does the verse say? He deceives himself. Okay, so the first thing is you got to consider your thoughts. So what do you think about yourself? You think you're doing pretty good? You think you're loving God and loving others? This verse tells us in reality, you may be doing nothing. You may be totally deceived. And this word deceiving is false reasoning, causing yourself to think something that is not true. So again, look at the verse. For if a man, if you think yourself to be something when you or really nothing, you deceive yourself. Is this easy to do? Yeah. I'll give you two illustrations. I think I got time for both of them. So lady, at this time, so I'm sorry, I should have given you a little bit of background. So we were church replanters. We were missionaries. And finished seminary at 40. We had five children. Nobody wanted to, I had no pastoral experience. So really, we ended up replanting a church when I was missionaries. And I think there were five people plus our seven. So they started with 12 people. So during those days, we had a very small church. I think when the story I'm about to tell you, that we had about 15 maybe members. And this lady came up to me, not 15 members, 15 attendees, including children, diapers, you name it, everybody. So she came up and said, Pastor, my stepfather's been having surgery, and would you go pray with him? Well, Brother Dan, I don't know about you, I love to go to the hospital to pray with him. They can't go in. You got him. Okay. So I said, sure. She said, wait a minute, Pastor. He is the most wicked man I've ever met. Well, you hear that. Yeah. Okay, that's just your view of him. I'm sure he's not that bad. So anyway, I said, I'll go. I said, okay. So I walk into the hospital. And he was in the bed, and another daughter was sitting, as soon as I walked in the room, and she said, yes, can I help you? I said, yes, I'm a Marsh fan. Your sister sent me to visit your dad. I'm her pastor. She said, you're what? I'm her pastor. She looked at me. She got up and left the room. Went over. This man's name was Mr. Perkins. I said, Mr. Perkins, my name is Marsh Fant. I'm Ruth's pastor, and I just came to Ruth and we come pray with you. Understand, you got some pretty severe surgery coming. So what had happened is severe diabetic. Both legs were going to be amputated. Didn't know if he was going to live through. So I said, understand, you got some severe surgery coming. I'd like to pray with you before you go into surgery. Is that okay? He looked at me. He had these real thick glasses. He looked at me and he said, you're what? I said, I'm Ruth's pastor. You're a pastor? Turn around and face the wall. And what did Ruth tell me? It's the most wicked man she'd ever met. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay. So I just went ahead and gave him the gospel. I said, Mr. Perkins, I don't know you, but I promise you this, that God is so good, God loves us so much, and the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ, if we come to him in faith, cleanses us from all sin. So who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you're saved, all sins, past, present, and future, forgiven. And you become a child of God. If you describe to him in faith that Jesus says, I am the way, that I gave him the whole gospel. And I prayed with him, turned around and left. What do you do? So I went home, told Gretchen what I tell you. Waste of time. Us preachers, whatever. I'm being very sarcastic. Don't think I'm really that. So anyway, you just leave with the Lord. What else do you do? So I got out. This is back before everything still came by newspaper. Checked the obituaries. His name was not in it. Another day, still not in it. So finally, I think I got in touch with Ruth. What happened? Oh, he made it through surgery. So, oh, great, I'll go and see him. So I walked in the room. True story, walked in this room. And here's this man on one of these little trampolines. Legs cut off, right? No legs. All bandaged up. They had him sitting on this little trampoline, kind of bouncing. And I looked at him, this huge smile on his face. I said, Mr. Perkins, you remember me? He said, sure do. He said, I'm the happiest no-legged man to ever live. I trusted Christ to save me and I've been forgiven. But see, some people deceive themselves thinking they've committed sins that cannot be forgiven. Mr. Perkins understood. All his sins, past, present, future, had been forgiven. So whenever you give the gospel, don't allow people to deceive themselves thinking their sins are unforgivable. We do our part. Can you save anybody? No.
but we can give the gospel.
One illustration of deception. So many years ago, I was, Gretchen was out speaking at a ladies' conference somewhere, and we just finished a week of meeting with evangelists, and it was Friday night, and Brother Dan, you know, you've been from Sunday through Friday, you're exhausted, and, you know, woe is me, I'm going home to an empty house, and, well, you know, you get all these pity parties, and so anyway, so I pulled out of church about 10 o'clock. I lived about half a mile from the church. So it was literally, you pull a church parking lot, turn left and turn right, our house is the top of the hill. We were far enough away that you couldn't look at the church and see if I was home or not. That was on purpose. But, you know, we were close enough. I could walk to the church. So I pull out of the church parking lot, I turn left, I turn right, I got blue lights behind me. I said, Marsh, how can you have blue lights? How can a policeman pull you over in 500 feet? What in the world did you just do? So I sat there. I just finished my concealed weapons carry permit. So I knew I keep my hands on the wheel. I don't move. I wait until he comes up. I didn't have a gun in the car. I mean, I knew what to do. So I sat there, hands on the wheel, and that blue light. Okay. Couldn't figure out what. I sat there. I said, okay, he's running my tag. Okay, so I still sat there. And I still sat there. And after 10 minutes passed, I said, okay, I'm just going to hold my hands. So I held one hand up. I opened the door very slowly and turned around. There was no cop. See, I've always had retina problems. And when you have a retina detaching, lights go off in your peripherals. So we can laugh. You can laugh. I really thought I'd been pulled. I was physically deceived. All I'm saying is, folks, it's easy to be deceived. Look at the verse. Considering thyself. Look at the verse. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. So we got to say spiritually, where have I deceived myself? And again, back to the consolidation. I sat down there yesterday with your pastor, Pastor Kim McBride, and they set godly examples of servitude in that meeting. And the deacons did a wonderful job. I don't know if I'd change anything that happened yesterday in that meeting. I don't know. Well, all I can say is, you're going to proceed down the path of pursuing God's will. And some of you may think, there's no way this is going to work. Or you think, yeah, this is God's will. Okay, but it's easy to deceive ourselves. So all I'm saying is, your responsibility is simply to take the next step of faith. Right? You don't have to go 10 years down the line. You don't think about, well, what happens when we outgrow that building. You don't think about that. So don't deceive yourself by thinking, all you got to concentrate, okay, what is the next step of faith God wants me to take? And when you do that, you right now, this moment, you know, so you're not deceiving yourself, what is it? So, you know, what is that next step of faith? All right, so let's keep going. So first you got to consider your thoughts, also consider your works, verses 4 and 5. But let every man do what? Somebody talk to him now. Don't fall asleep on me. Do prove what? And then what will happen? Keep reading, all the way through verse 5. Anybody?
He shall rejoice in himself and alone, and not in another.
In verse 5.
Yes. Five. Oh. For every man shall bear his own burden.
His own burden. I go back up to verse 2. Bear one another's what?
Burden.
Okay, what kind? In verse 2, back at verse 2, what kind of burden is that? Crush, thank you very much. A crushing load. All right, this word's a totally different word. This is that personal load you're expected to carry. In the Bible context, a Roman soldier had a backpack that he was expected and required to carry. So verse 5, this is a personal load. Matthew 11, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, heavy laden, burden. Okay, so this is the load every believer is expected to carry. Not a crushing one. So we got to understand this load is what you're expected to carry. So let me ask you this question. If everybody at First Love served in the church just like I did, It's a fairly small church, so it's going to be pretty obvious if something's not done. But if everybody served just as you did, what would not get done? Okay? So we got to ask ourselves, am I carrying my own load? Am I carrying my own load? So our youngest son's in the army. He was heading to Afghanistan. And he came by and spent a few days at home with us. And so I said, tell me, what will you be wearing in the combat? What are you going to be wearing? And he said, well, I'll have this. He said, my total outfit will be about 70 pounds. Now, he's a big dude. He's about 6'3", you know, 230, something like that. So he's the biggest one in our family. He said, by the way, I have my breastplate in the truck. Do you want to see it? I'd love to see it. So what it was a metal plate that goes over his head, covers back and chest. And it's kind of like a bulletproof vest, but it's different, okay? And he said, do you want to put that on? Sure. I got news for him. I'm an old man. He's not. There's no way the Army would ever, well, the Army wouldn't have me at my age, okay? But there's no way someone like me would be expected to carry the armor built for him, okay? But at the same time, in the church, God's equipped you to serve in certain ways. So you are to carry your own load. You are to, again, verse 5, if every man shall bear his own burden. So I got to ask you, are you carrying your load? And are you willing to carry the load when the churches come together? So right now, y'all just come and go in this building, right? Now, y'all, I'm sure y'all help and all that. But all right, so what are some things that the minute, if the church consolidation goes through, what are some immediate things that are going to have to be done? Well, there's a lot of carpet. Now, I know they have, let me say this, they have somebody that cleans the church, right? Didn't I hear that yesterday? Okay. And they got somebody that mows the grass, but maybe y'all want to do it yourself. But there's a lot of difference between owning a building and just renting a building. Okay, so you follow me? So what are you willing to do? Are you willing to carry your load? Are there certain things you're willing that you say, there's no way I will do that? So again, my background, I was saved as a freshman at Clemson University. I was in a very liberal denomination. Finally, several years later, I left the liberal denomination and joined a little Bible-believing church in Clemson, South Carolina, where I went to school. And they meet in the funeral home. So I went from a stained glass window, big-time Methodist downtown church, to a church meeting in a funeral chapel. So I've been there a little while, long enough for them to trust me. And they came to me and said, now I was single. They came to me and said, would you like to teach children's church? We need a children's church teacher. Would you do it? I'm thinking, again, I'm not normally this bad, okay? But I was very thinking to myself, why do you think I'd be interested in children? I'm not married. I don't have children. I've been saved. When I went to church in those days, I still do, I carried a notebook, I carried a highlighter, I carried a pen. I took notes on every Sunday school lesson. I took notes on every sermon. I prepared. I was feasting on the word in every service. 10 minutes, thank you. You follow me? I was so eager for the word of God. And now I'm being asked to leave the Sunday morning preaching, which was the highlight of my week as a young single guy, to go be with kids in children's church. So I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't want to do that. I said, what's the spiritual answer? I'll pray about it, right? So I did give a spiritual answer. And then you know what happened. So what do you think God did to me that next few days? He beat me up. What do you mean you're not willing? You know, I died for you, and you're not willing to teach children? Anyway, so I did it, and it was a huge blessing, by the way. It really was. But what I'm saying is, there are things, especially when two churches come together, that Pastor Dan or his wife or the deacons or somebody say, you know, we need help doing this. And you're going to say, now what is it about me that you think I want to help doing that? Hopefully you're more spiritual than I was. Okay. All I'm saying is, folks, God expects us to carry our own load. And as we all carry our own load, within a church that is the mark of a Spirit-led church. So two questions in closing. Do you see yourself as God does? We had a gal at the church, and Gretchen came up to me one day, and this gal, and I don't think she'd mind me telling you, we had done a lot of one-on-one work with her. She had a lot of struggles as a teen, and great family. And so we tried to help her, and all of a sudden Gretchen came to me, hey, have you seen so-and-so lately? Well, you know, it was a young lady, a teenage lady, so I didn't normally go up and stare at young teenage girls in the face. It makes, especially the pastor, you know, kind of makes them nervous. I said, not really, but I was... So I looked at her, and there was a total countenance change. I mean, there was peace, and there was joy. I said, what's happened to you? She said, well, I've just gotten saved. I said, hallelujah. I told the men, that's my favorite biblical word, hallelujah. I said, you know what? It's time for baptism. And she told me her testimony. She said, I was miserable. I knew I wasn't saved. And she just went on, she said, but now I'm saved. I'm so happy and the burden's gone. And I said, can you give your testimony at baptism? She said, I'd love to. So God's perfect timing. We had a girl, a lady named Laura, who had been attending our church with a friend. So at the baptism, well, this young girl gives her testimony, fabulous testimony, just God. It's just what God did. So Laura's sitting there. And Laura's hearing this. So Laura's background is she's raised liberal Presbyterian. She married a Mormon. He divorced her, so she left the Mormon faith. She was unsaved. So she said she wanted to do a Bible study. So Gretchen started meeting with her. And by the way, her email address was jesuslovesme@reagan.com. So she had everything there to think she was a believer, right? Even the political side. Gretchen started meeting with her, and she came to her. So what I'm trying to say is you never know the influence you have on others. As this young lady was giving her testimony, and, you know, God had convicted her and she was saved, you never know how your testimony may affect someone in the church or someone God's brought as a visitor to the church. Isn't God good? So I just put this three marks of a Spirit-led church: confronting, comforting, and considering. I didn't even get to all that. But I want you to think about this. This is what I said earlier, Matthew 11:30. I don't know what your struggles are right now. We all have them. If you don't have one, then I don't know if you're really growing, because we always need to be working on something in our lives. Christ says, my yoke is easy and my personal load, when God gave what he said, I'll carry it with you, is light. So again, I don't know what burdens you're carrying, but I know as a church, you're carrying a big burden on what your next step should be. But if it's God's will, hallelujah. If it's not God's will, what else can we say? Hallelujah. Because you exactly, and you get to sit on the front seat, on the front row, and see what God's going to do over the next couple of months. It's a great time to be a member of First Love Baptist Church. It's a great time to see God go before you and give you a yay or a nay. It's a great time to see how God is going to take that, whatever he does. And as all of you continue to live out Galatians 6:1-5, how you can influence Charleston for Christ. Because there's so, the world is moving here. I guess you realize that, right? And we got married in 1981 at the Citadel Chapel. And from 1981 to now, whew, I mean, traffic is just, it's unbelievable. But you know what that does? God's bringing people to you that need to be saved. And then set apart for him. So y'all are in a great place. I'll close with this. And the reason I say that, you don't take it for granted. It's opened a church in Illinois. And it was the third, rated third in the nation as a county for people leaving. Like there was an abandoned caterpillar plant. You go down and you see storefronts boarded up. You see houses empty. You see churches just closed. That's a depressing. Is God still working there? Yes, he is. Okay, I'm not saying that. But folks, in my travels, where God has put you, and I believe, you know, where God puts you is a sovereign address given to you by God. And there are so many around here that both need Christ and Christ likeness. There's a pastor, the church in Charleston, almost makes you salivate. Wow, what a mission field. God's put you here. And you get to sit and see what God's going to do in the next couple of months with this merger. And that is a great place to be. You need to continue to pray. You need to continue to prepare. You need to continue to love God and love one another, as Galatians talks about. All right, 3 minutes. Any observations on this passage you want to give? Anything else? Anything you want to say, Pastor Dan? Any comments? And they were silent. They're ready to take it. Father, you're so good to us. Father, never let us take your grace for granted. Never let us take your church for granted. Father, may we do all within our power through your grace and by your Spirit to live out the one another's here at First Love Baptist Church. Father, give each of them wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of your will as they go forward about this consolidation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dan?